Good morning again. Very early morning. That's okay. I know everyone is super tired. If you're not, well, I am. So we'll see what happens. I know we're all here for breakfast, really. But before we do that, I think it's appropriate for us to just spend a few minutes remembering why we are here this morning, why we come together every Easter morning. Now, there's no notes. There's going to be the scriptures that we're going to use are going to be on the screens, although you're welcome to use, obviously, your Bible. But there's no, you know, fill in the blanks or anything this morning. We're kind of just going to have a conversation and just kind of talk a little bit about what the scripture says to us as believers and what it means to have to be able to relive the resurrection and what the resurrection means to us. But first, I want to remind us all. Just to get us all on the and bearing, you know, we were in this series called Searching for Hope. Today we're specifically looking at finding true hope, and so I want to just remind us all what hope means. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. A feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. You know, there was something pretty amazing that happened really early in the morning. I mean, I thought when I woke up at 6 o'clock this morning, or whatever time I woke up, it's before clocks exist when I woke up this morning. It was early. I thought that was pretty early, but something amazing happened really, really early in the morning. You see, there was this group of women who felt it was their responsibility, and men, women are amazing, are they not? I mean, they protect us, they keep us alive, they keep us from doing stupid stuff all the time, or at least my wife does. Well, she tries. Anyway, so these amazing women, they got up and they felt it was their responsibility to go and make sure that Jesus' body was cared for properly, right? And so they got up really early. The men that had buried Jesus already in the previous time, the men that had buried him, they had used spices, they had done the things, but these women, they just wanted to make sure things were done properly according to tradition, okay, according to the way that that things were supposed to happen. So here they are, very early in the morning, and let's take a look at what happens. Well, let's take a look at what's going on. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, it says, "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him." Him is Jesus. "And very early on the first day of the week," that's Sunday, "very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?'" They're worried, right? Like, how are they going to manage to do this? "And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back." It was very large. "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." So these women, they did something amazing, right? We have this amazingly powerful moment right here. I mean, these women, they went down to take care of business, right? And they're met by this man in white robes saying that Jesus was risen. They're met by this guy dressed a little bit weird, because white robes, I mean, obviously, it's before Memorial Day. I think that's a no-no. But, you know, Jesus is, or this man is in white robes, and so he's unusual, right? Now, just for a moment this morning, I want to ask you guys to do something. I want to ask you to put yourself in their shoes. Just for a moment. Just think as if you were one of these women that went down and you're going down with a job to do, right? And you get there, and your job has been taken away. And this isn't a bad thing, right? Your job has been taken away because Jesus isn't there. He's risen. He's gone. You walk up to the tomb. You're ready to anoint the body of the one that you worshiped, of the one that you love. And there's this man telling you that Jesus is no longer there, that he has risen. Do you think that that would have an impact on your life? For these women, from that moment forward, their lives are changed, right? Like everything is different from that woman, from that moment forward. They saw Jesus die. They saw him hanging there. They saw him taken down from the cross. And now he's not there. The place that he's supposed to be, he's not there. Listen, I don't know about you, but that would have a profound impact on my life forever. Everything would be different. You know, this event has a profound impact, has had a profound impact on the lives of everyone for the last 2,000 plus years. This event has changed the world. This event right here has had an impact on every single one of us sitting in this room. We are 2,000 plus years removed from this moment, yet we're all here this morning because this event had an impact. Trust me, I would not be up here this early if this event was not important, right? So this moment right here has this impact on so many people, and it continues to have this impact. But sometimes I think we forget, if you're anything like me at least, sometimes I think we forget the impact that this moment had on our lives. I mean, specifically on me, on what's happened in my life. I mean, sometimes I think we know it's true, right? Like I think everyone in here would acknowledge the truth of the resurrection. We know it's true, but then we struggle with actually believing that it's true and that it has an impact on my life, on the day-to-day stuff, right? Like we deal with stuff every day. We struggle with all kinds of things. And sometimes I think we struggle with actually believing that this impact, that this thing that happened actually affects me 2,000 years later in Northern Illinois. Well, my hope this morning is that I'll be able to remind you about the impact that this moment has so that you can leave here this morning. You can go out and have breakfast this morning, having renewed the impact that Jesus' resurrection actually had on your life. That's our goal this morning. I want to remind you a little bit about the moment that these women found that empty tomb, and I hope to encourage you to remember what that moment means in your life. In order to do that, though, we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Paul's the guy that had a profound moment with Jesus, right? He's walking down the road, and suddenly Jesus appears to him and has a conversation with him, and then Paul's life completely changes, okay? Well, after his life changed, he goes on these missionary journeys, right? And then this letter is to one of the churches. It's the church in Corinth, a town called Corinth. And so this letter he wrote to them to encourage them. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now I would remind you, brothers of the gospel, I preached to you, Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at a time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. So there's a few things I just want to briefly point on in this passage, a few things that I think actually make a difference when we look at them. You see, in these first two verses, we see some actions taking place, right? There's some things that are happening, and I want to point something out with these actions. First of all, we have a pair of actions. We have two things happening. We have I preached, you received. This is what Paul is saying. I preached, you received. These are the things that happened in the past, and they are completed actions. These are things that have already taken place, right? I preached, you received. The next action we have is in the phrase, in which you stand. Now, this is an interesting thing because Greek is really weird, okay? And this passage is written in Greek. Paul wrote this in Greek. And Greek is strange because of the way that they use verbs. They have kind of some difficult ways that they write things, and it takes a little bit of a brain sandwich to, I don't know what that means. That was a weird word, but anyway, so it takes a little bit of thinking. So I want to try to explain to you the phrase in which it stands, the sense of that word, okay, the way that that word is written is that it shows us that it is a completed action. It's already happened, but it's also happening right now, okay? It's already happened, but it's happening now also, right? In which you have believed. The last phrase, so we have I preached, you received. We have in which you believed, which is done, but happening in this moment also. In other words, I'm still believing, right? And then the last phrase is, by which you are being saved. Now, this phrase is also interesting because it's called the present continuous. Present continuous, meaning that it is happening now, in this moment, and it is happening forever. There's never a time in the future that it's not happening, okay? So it's as if it's happening forever. So we have already happened, I preached, you received. We have happened and still happening, I believed. And then we have happening and continuing to happen, which is by which you are being saved. It's a continuous action that cannot stop. You see, this powerful set of actions is happening here because Paul said that he's already preached to the Corinthians. He's already done this. He's already shared this information with them. And that they have been and are holding on to the belief. In other words, they believe what Paul preached. And all of this is happening while they are still and always will be saved. Now, even though this letter was written to the church in Corinth, it was actually passed around to all of the churches in the region. And then it was passed down to all Christians for all time. So even though these words were specifically written for the church in Corinth, they were also written for the church in Leaf River. Okay? They were also written to us today. But what is the thing that Paul preached? If he preached and they believed, what is the thing that he preached and they received? It's easy. That's a fulfillment of Scripture. He even says that according to the Scriptures, right? He says that. Paul is very clear, and he tells them that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. But what Scripture? Now, that could be a lot of Scriptures, right? But specifically this morning, we're going to look at Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. This passage says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. see in the Old Testament, there are prophecies that are being lived out in real time for this group of people. Now, just imagine that for a moment. Imagine the excitement of knowing the scriptures, knowing the prophecies, and seeing them lived out in real time right in front of you. That's what they're experiencing. That's what these people are experiencing. They're seeing these things happening, and Paul is reminding them of that. Now, for us, it's easy for us to say, sure, that was way back then. For us, we're removed 2,000 years, right? So for us, the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's the same. It's all way in the past. But for them, in this moment, this is real time. Paul says that that Jesus was buried after he was raised, according to the scripture. Or after he was buried, he was raised according to the scripture. Now that phrase is interesting because there's not any like super clear Jesus will raise after 3 days in the Old Testament. It's not super clear. It's kind of seen, but it's not super clear. But see, Paul would have in mind not just individual passages, but the whole corpse of the Old Testament. Paul has everything in view, meaning he has things in view such as Jonah and the fact that Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, right? He has those things in mind. And so Paul is really encouraging the believers in Corinth and all other believers in this statement by reminding them that this happened, you believed it, and here's the evidence of it happening. And here's the scriptures that point to the fact that this is happening, right? Paul is connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament for these people in real time, which is amazing. He's reminding them that the Jesus that they have been hearing about is in fact the Jesus that fulfilled prophecy. And what's amazing is that he's showing them, he's teaching them that not only has he fulfilled prophecy, but if he has fulfilled prophecy, he will continue to fulfill prophecy, which means there is hope. There is an excitement. There is an expectation that we can have. There is hope. Lastly, Paul gives evidence of this happening. He gives his testimony, which to be fair could be a little bit suspect, right? Because Paul's the guy that used to go after them and try to kill them. And so maybe Paul's not really being honest. But he doesn't give just his testimony and the life change that has happened in his life. He gives the testimony of these other people also. And he says, look, basically, you can go ask them. They're still alive. So feel free to ask them. If those people were dead, then there would be no accountability, right? Then Paul would be saying, listen, just take my word for it. But that's not what happened. Paul's saying, these people are still alive. Go ask them, verify everything that I'm telling you. And Paul is giving them hope. Paul points them to the witnesses for everything that could be verified. Now, if these things were found false, if Paul was found to have been lying, if these witnesses, in fact, if somebody went to these witnesses and these witnesses said, no, Paul's crazy, that didn't actually happen, then Paul would have been under judgment for spreading a false gospel. Paul would have been in a lot of trouble, which tells us that Paul's not going to put himself in that position, right? Paul is sharing this as a reminder to the believer who knows that it's true. You and I know that the resurrection is true. You and I know that there is life. You and I know that there is hope. And so Paul is reminding us that there is, in fact, hope. And that brings us to this morning. How many here, and I don't want you to actually, you know, raise your hand or answer or something, but how many of us here, how many of us online have struggled with the loss of hope in your life? Have struggled with that, the moment or the time of saying, I just can't do it. I just can't make it. I'm struggling. And you've lost hope in your life, or at least you feel like it. Now, later on in the second service, you're going to hear about a time in my life where I lost hope, where I was left searching and not finding, right? I knew all the things I was a pastor. I knew all of the things to say. I knew how to tell people to find hope, but I didn't feel like I had hope myself, and I don't think I'm the only one that ever feels like that. I think sometimes we need a reminder of the hope that we have in Christ. And so Paul is reminding the Christians in Corinth, and Paul is reminding the Christians in Leaf River, and Paul is reminding the Christians online that not only have we been saved by the resurrection of Christ, but we are still being saved and will always experience salvation through the birth, death, resurrection of Jesus, who died for our sins. Do you see how powerful that truth is? Do you see the thing that Paul is explaining to these people? Do you see how it can impact us if we simply accept it, believe it, respond to it? Look, I'm not asking you to acknowledge and pray a prayer. I'm asking you to believe in your heart, in your moment with God. I'm asking you to believe that whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you are dealing with, because we all deal with stuff, right? So whatever it is you are facing this morning, that Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, has not left you to figure out this life all by yourself. That Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, who we know has saved us, will continue to save us and has not left us out to be on our own. You see, death is the price for sin. Sin is the failure to keep the law, but Jesus overcame that, giving us hope. Look in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 through 58. It says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." In other words, keep going, because there is victory through Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep going. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Stand firm in what you know to be true of the gospel, in what you know to be true of the situations that you're facing. In this context, it means to hold tight to the gospel and to the belief, to the reality that the resurrection proclaims the gospel itself. The resurrection gives power to the gospel. That's what's going on when we get into these times where we feel like we don't have any more to give. The resurrection is the power of God working throughout all time. The resurrection is the power of the gospel, and that's where your victory and that's where my victory actually comes from. It doesn't come from doing the right things. It doesn't come from, you know, giving the right amount of money. It doesn't come from attending church so many times or telling so many people or inviting or anything like that. Our victory comes from the resurrection and the resurrection only. So next time you're searching for hope, next time you're feeling down and you just can't feel, you can't shake this feeling of hopelessness and this feeling of wanting something, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember the empty tomb. Remember the empty tomb. Because if Jesus Christ died for your and my sins and then came back, well, then he can deal with all of our issues. Right? I want you to remember the empty tomb. And I want you to remember what you know to be true. Remember the gospel that Christ lived and you received. Christ lived and you received. In which you have stood, in which you have believed, in which you have experienced, and by which you are being saved for eternity. The gospel does not offer a one-time salvation. The gospel is a salvation for all time. The gospel is a salvation for all issues, for all struggles, for all hopelessness. The true gospel, that is the sinless life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The true gospel will never, ever fail. If you're here this morning, or if you're joining us online this morning, and you have found yourself at any time to be searching for hope, to be feeling like, I just can't keep going like this, I just don't have anything else, then let me ask you to return to what you know to be true this morning. Return to the truth that you know. And let's take some time together. I want to take some time together this morning and reframe our perspectives, right? And repent of not focusing on God in whatever the situation that you're struggling with, right? Repent for not focusing on God and instead turning our focus to Him and beginning to take the steps to walk towards the Lord again. That's our goal this morning, right? Because the hope for a future, the hope for the removal of despair, for the removal of even just struggles, the hope for that is in Christ. The hope for a future is in Him. I love what Pastor Warren Wiersbe says. This is great. He says, the best is yet to come, so let's give Him our best now. The best is yet to come, so let's give Him our best now. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just thank You for who You... Lord, You sacrificed Your Son for me. Lord God, You took everything that I'd ever done. You know everything that I've ever done. You took all of that on Your shoulders. And You died so that I don't have to. Lord, You took my penalty. And not only that, but Lord, You give me hope every day. Lord, this morning, I come to You this morning, Lord, and I want to confess the times that I have not focused on You, and I have struggled, and I have wondered why I can't get out of this struggle and why I can't deal with it. Lord, I know that the reason I can't deal with it is because I'm not focused on You. And so this morning, Lord, I want to focus on You in every area, in every aspect of my life, Lord. And I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your grace that gives me victory, that gives me hope for a future, that gives me the hope that removes all hopelessness. Lord, thank You. Even after I forget, even after I ignore You, Lord, You continue to be there. Lord, thank You for never giving up. Thank You for always loving me and always providing for me, even when I don't see it. Thank You for everything. Lord, in Your name I pray. Amen.